This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Anne Marlowe, a visiting fellow at the Hudson Institute. She's also been a very frequent embed with U.S. troops in Afghanistan. And if you may remember, not that long ago, she and I were talking about not only the problem of corruption within the Afghan government, but specifically within the Karzai family, namely President Karzai's brother Mahmoud, who has actually been involved in some dealings that could seriously endanger U.S. forces. And Anne, thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you very much for having me on the show again.
Well, the latest on this story is that the Justice Department is looking into possibly filing charges against Mahmoud Karzai, charges of tax evasion, racketeering, extortion. Is it largely because they see him as a detriment to our operations there, or is it simply based on charges unrelated to our military campaign?
Oh, well, this has nothing directly to do with our military campaign. It has a lot to do, though, with why we can't succeed in Afghanistan with this sort of corruption. Basically, I think the certain elements in the administration are well aware that corruption, perceived cronyism, nepotism are undermining our counterinsurgency efforts. I mean, if you go to Field Manual 324, General Petraeus's counterinsurgency Bible, the first chapter is just shot through and through with references to the need for a legitimate host nation government. And, you know, that's something we don't have in Afghanistan. And I think that this is a stab in the right direction if they follow through. Because, you know, lately in the last month or two, we've seen a number of promising American efforts either shunted aside, weakened, or abandoned. Such as the Senate Foreign Relations Report on Corruption in Afghanistan, which was never released.
What do we know for sure that he's done?
We don't know anything for sure other than self-dealing that would not be acceptable in most Western banking environments due to his being a 7 or 9% stakeholder in Kabul Bank, the largest private bank in Afghanistan that almost went out of business a few weeks ago. He is basically the beneficiary of sweetheart loans that have not been repaid. And last week he told the Boston Globe he might be restating his American tax returns to reflect a $900,000 windfall property profit on a house he sold in Dubai. And that's very weird because the Dubai property market has actually collapsed over the last couple of years. People have been losing money, not making money, yet in 4 months he was able to flip a house for $900,000 more than he paid for it. Now, he didn't put down the money to buy that house. He was lent that money by another director of the bank. And that $900,000 profit actually, you know, has to show up in his U.S. income tax returns. He's a U.S. citizen, Mahmoud Karzai, which is one of the reasons why we have some leverage getting at him. You know, we don't with some of the other Karzai brothers. But basically, this sort of thing is part of the reason Afghans don't take our admonitions about corruption seriously. When they see the brother of their president enriching himself on snarky deals, it's very hard to take anything that we say seriously.
In terms of the U.S. strategy here, there have been a couple of public rebukes for the lack of addressing corruption by the Karzai government. That was basically met with anything from a verbal rebuke back at us or even a threat to join the Taliban. So now apparently the strategy is to work behind the scenes. Do you have any idea what that consists of and whether that's making any more progress?
Well, I'm not sure. I don't think it's a very good idea. I think we're we're operating in a shame culture in Afghanistan, and I think that the Karzai administration needs to be shamed at this point. There's nothing else that's proven effective. All the admonition in the world hasn't done a darn bit of good. In fact, the corruption has accelerated. Meanwhile, you know, so there's some very unpromising signs in official U.S. efforts. For example, there's a task force that the military set up to deal with corruption called Task Force 2010. A woman officer, a rear admiral named Kathleen Dussault, who has extensive experience in dealing with corruption in contracting in Iraq, and in fact was close to Petraeus there, was was the head of this task force, and she was rather abruptly replaced last week after only 4 months on the job, you know, not enough time to really accomplish anything. So that's not a very good sign, and her replacement was a lower-ranked officer without any contracting experience. You know, when you see stuff like that happening, you have to wonder about where the administration is going and what they think they can accomplish that way.
We're talking with Anne Marlowe, and Anne, as I mentioned in the introduction, you've been embedded many times with U.S. troops in Afghanistan. We've heard reports over the past couple of days of a new major offensive beginning in the Kandahar region, and this is something we've heard a lot about building up to this point, potentially. You mentioned earlier on, though, that if this corruption issue is not properly addressed, that we can't win there. So what are your thoughts as you see this major offensive unfolding?
I think that it's doomed. I hate to say that, but you know, you can even see this in a video that surfaced on Al Jazeera recently, which shows a guy in the uniform of the Afghan border police watching as a bunch of men fill out blank voter cards for the parliamentary election that just took place. In other words, they're committing election fraud. It's a video of election fraud. Now, The reason they're wearing uniforms of the Afghan border police probably is that we've empowered a border police general named Abdul Razik, who's also a heroin dealer. He was the subject of a cover story, I think it was in Harper's, about a year ago. And this guy's been receiving CIA funding. He's, you know, one of the thugs we've empowered in Afghanistan. And he is a major power broker in the Kandahar area because he controls the transit of drugs across that border, that very under-policed border. You know, you have the fox watching the hen house. There are many examples. You know, we just accepted wholesale a large militia belonging to another warlord, Gulaga Sherzai, into the police in Kandahar. So this unit of hundreds of men have become policemen. They've been, you know, sworn to uphold the law, yet until recently they were working for someone who's also been implicated in all kinds of malfeasance in Afghanistan. So, you know, we are simultaneously telling the Afghans to fight for good government, fight against the Taliban, and yet we are going out of our way to empower the worst among them.
And battles on multiple fronts, to be sure. Thank you very much for bringing us the latest.
Thank you very much for having me on the show.
Anne Marlowe is a visiting fellow with the Hudson Institute, a frequent embed with U.S. troops in Afghanistan. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.